Welcome along to the Short Ball. It's a Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty Stevenson and Mills Muliaina. Today is the 31st of October. It's Halloween. And what better treat for all of us on Halloween than this monster coming back to Super Rugby? It's Marty Banks live from Japan. You are like herpes, Banks. Every time you think we've shaken you, back you come. What is going on here?
Well, I thought I'd finally stop dealing with people like yourself. Well, actually, just yourself, Simo, because to be fair, you've been a pain in my existence probably since I stepped onto the Pukekohe home ground there and you're stuck into me. And
that's true, actually.
Yeah, so if I could erase someone from my life, probably it'd be you, hands down, mate. But as for Millsy and everyone else, I'm pretty happy to be on the podcast.
Good man.
Millsy can just ask a question.
don't be bossing. You haven't even stepped foot back in the country yet, and here you are already trying to lay down the law. This is ridiculous from you. Let's get down to it, though, mate. A great move for you, really, to come back to the Highlanders. I know you're pretty fizzed up about it, buddy. So what was the process in getting back on board?
Yeah, it's been sort of on and off for probably a couple of months now. We sort of touched base when I got to Japan and it was a no-go. And then I guess once I got settled in, I run it past Mike Brewer again, the coach here, and floated the idea and he warmed up a little bit. And then the club here, Docomo, Red Hurricanes, they contacted the Highlanders and they just sort of went back and forth and did what businesses do and looked after that side of it. And it's just got to a stage where I thought it was done and dusted probably, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. And then it sort of got told it was no go and now it's back on. And so it was a bit of a roller coaster, but it's pretty exciting to be heading home. Obviously, it's only for a season, but to be back in New Zealand, back in front of the friends and family and back with the boys, it's a club that I cherish. And I love being a part of the Landers. So to be back, bloody wrapped.
You know how this is getting written up back here, which is a disgrace. Highlanders bring back cult hero Marty Banks. That's the headline. Of all the headlines they could have chosen with you, you pest, and they try and make you out as some sort of hero. You've been chasing cash since you started playing this game, and here you are. Like, this is some triumphant homecoming. I can't believe you sleep at night.
I don't know about the cult hero stuff, but I bet you they're picking some photos, mate. So it's actually probably a level of this. So
it's actually
not many good ones out.
They've actually done a really good job. It's one of the better ones of you, that's for sure. It's wet though, so your hair's all slicked down, which is
so glow right there, mate.
Yeah, he's soul glow. You look like Millsy in his heyday. That's what happens.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Banks.
I'll take what I can get, really.
Banks, are you going back to Japan? I know you know you're excited about coming and playing for the Highlanders again. I was at Docomo as well. And I know the difficulties of trying to get back, and you go to Mike Brewer, the head coach there, but it's the company really that you've got to get sign off from. So I think the question for me is, how much many presents did you buy the GM Schmalky son to get yourself back over here? Or I'm suspecting Schmalky son's going to end up at the Highlanders watching a few trainings. Yeah. Was that what sort of got the deal done for you?
It was probably about 3 weeks ago now that I mentioned the Melbourne Cup. So the Melbourne Cup's next week, and we're all going to the Melbourne Cup next week, but I'm going on my own sort of route, and the rest of the club is going to have a look as well. So might have slipped in a few freebies in there for Schmalky.
You,
and
you mean the club, Docomo are going to the Melbourne Cup?
I think they're having a management meeting in Melbourne. So it's just the staff and that are heading in there. So I think that was the teething process, was obviously trying to convince the CEO and the company as a whole to just warm up to the idea. And Roger Clark and Aaron Major was awesome back on their side of it, and they sort of had a yarn to the club and just probably tried outlaying the benefits for them and moving forward. Because with us in Japan next year, there's not too much of a competition in terms of top leagues. So they sort of seen the benefit of me heading home for a super season and then coming back and linking up for hopefully a top league season the year after when it depends on our promotion relegation game on the 23rd of December, but all going well, we're in top league for that following year. And the club's in a pretty good pretty good place, because at the moment we're building towards that, and now we've got a young team. So hopefully by then the boys are hissing and ready to go.
Nice. Banksy, you've already won one title with the Highlanders. You go back to a bit of a new look team, really, especially in 10, where Bryn Gatlin comes in and Josh Ioane, who's come through the ranks down there. So where do you see yourself fitting in as a 10 at the club? Are you going to be competing for starting spots?
Yeah, I haven't really talked to Aaron about that too much. I guess I'd say Bryn and Josh will have the lion's share of the minutes. But, yeah, if I can get back and pick up a few games here and there, and whether it's sitting on the bench or sitting on the stands or getting the odd chance to run the cutter, then I'll be happy as. But, yeah, for me it was more I've been away, obviously, in Italy and now in Japan. And the old lady, she's a big part of why I play footy, and she hasn't been able to watch a game since I left New Zealand. So a big reason for coming home was just to being a bit more accessible to the family. And if it's one game I get to play and she gets to watch it, then I'm pretty stoked about that. So obviously, yeah, it's all around. The Highlanders is obviously a massive draw card, and I love the fact that I'm being able to go back, but there's a lot of other contributing factors to me going back, and mum's pretty high up on that list. So in terms of game time, mate, I'm not too sure how that'll play out, but I'm sure I'll cherish every minute I get, like I have in the past behind Sops, and hopefully I can get on there and kick the odd goal.
Yeah, well, you've done that before, just swanned into a final and kicked a drop goal and taken credit for the whole shebang. So I look forward to seeing you do the same. I would say I'm excited to see you back, mate, but you know I can't stand you. So well done. Congratulations. Every battler has his day. And I guess we'll catch up and have a coffee and reinstigate our love-hate relationship.
Yeah, can we just talk about why Crocky got you to write his book? If he wants to sell them, you think he'd go somewhere else with me?
Thanks. That's my fifth bestseller. You're barking up the wrong tree again. This is what you do. So you come at me with these shots, but you're unarmed. You're underarmed. You don't have the ammunition. You don't have all the facts.
You might have a samurai sword.
Since 2012, this relationship has always been the same. You come at me, I slap you down, you start again. I don't know when you're going to learn this lesson. And stop bringing your mum into conversation. She doesn't like you either. You've been nothing but a burden on that family since you were born in Reefton, and you know it.
Oh, I don't know how Millsy turns up to work with you each day.
This is entertaining. We should get you on here more often.
Yeah, well, you've probably got a bit of shotgun out on your own there, Millsy, and you'd get more listeners anyway. No one really cares what Sumo's got to say, to be fair, that's why you can't get an All Black test.
Oh, you are such a dickbag. Can't wait to have you back, buddy. Congratulations, mate.
Nah, cheers, guys. Thank you. Sorry about the All Black thing, mate.
Nah, it's fine. It cuts me deep. You know how to get me, you bastard. Righto. Goodbye. Yeah, yeah. Go to training. Go to the gym, mate. You need some.
See you, boys.
Yeah, see you, fellas.
Bye, bud. Oh, I hate that guy so much. He just knows how to get me. He gets under my skin. It's a great move for the Landers. It's the team of cult heroes. Highlanders have always been that team, and I think Aaron Major and his coaching staff have looked around. Bryn Gatlin is obviously the guy they're backing. Fletcher Smith has gone to the Hurricanes as of today, signed up with them. Josh Ioane is still very young as a 10.
Yep.
They need a guy like this just to be there in the background to just make things happen for them.
Yeah, but what I love about it is the fact that it wasn't a last-minute call.
Yeah.
You know, the Highlanders have gone away and thought, okay, let's go after Marty Banks and let's, because you need to get ahead in front of the Japanese clubs nice and early and actually communicate it. So they've really started planning that. You know, a lot of times when you look at cult heroes and guys that have gone away for the last couple of years, you think, they need to fill a spot. And here's a perfect guy to come in and do that. I like their thinking, the way they've gone about it. And he's going to bring huge experience, as you mentioned before. The fact he's won a championship, he's been there, he's kicked a few goals, gee, a few in a row.
Yeah.
Also, he can kick. Is, you know, two fairly inexperienced tens that are there in Bryn Gatlin and Ioane. And so his experience is going to be vital in that position.
Looking around the squads today, the Crusaders have named a pretty settled outfit, as you'd expect from the Crusaders. Millsy, the Blues have managed to recruit from within their ranks, development players coming through. In fact, only three of their signings from outside the region, two from Tasman and Jed Brown and Levi Almua, and of course Martin Nonu coming back from Toulon, so no stranger to the Blues. I think this is good from the Blues, yep. Because you might be looking around thinking, poor, there's some depth areas which still could be concerning. Midfield, they've lost Tamua Manu to the Chiefs. He might have been a better prospect in midfield. But in saying that, I think the whole idea that they've said, right, we're going to pick from the guys who are playing for our provinces. It has worked for the Crusaders. It has worked for the Hurricanes. It has worked for the Highlanders in the past. So can it work for the Blues next year?
Oh, well, you got to. Well, I think what you've got to look at also, and what's probably given them confidence, is the fact that within their franchise, all those three teams have done well in the Mitre 10 Cup.
Yep.
You look at, you know, Northland, they made the final of the championship. Auckland winning the premiership. North Harbour weren't too far behind. And so rewarding those guys and rewarding the provinces is, you know, perhaps giving them that luxury because they have played so well this year. So, and it is. It's a proven factor. Particularly in the Crusaders environment and also the Landers, that if you've picked from your own region, yes, it does bring loyalty, but it also brings consistency. And I think those three teams doing well in the Mitre 10 Cup has helped sort of name their squad.
Super Rugby squad naming day today, but looking ahead to the weekend, it's a triple header from a New Zealand point of view on the international stage with the All Blacks taking on Japan. And what will be an intriguing test match for various reasons, one to see where Japan's sitting, currently under Jamie Joseph, and the other with a host of young faces in an All Blacks side set to be led around by, you'd think, Luke Whitelock at number 8. Via Fifita, who's really pushing for that extra loose forward spot with the All Blacks, so is Luke Whitelock for that matter. So there's some real interest around the loose forward area. Dane Coles' return will be interesting. Tetuiroa Tahuri Urangi may get his first All Blacks start in this test match. And Geordie Barrett coming back into 15. There's no doubt that Geordie Barrett had you cool your heels from the All Black coaches.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And to go away and just reevaluate where he thought he was in international rugby. This could be a defining test for Geordie Barrett in a very youthful-looking All Black backline. And about what lessons he's learnt since that South African test.
It will be a defining test. And I think, if not even looking at Geordie Barrett, and in terms of what's gone before him, the guys that have been at the back, you know, yes, Ben Smith's been there for the majority of the test so far this year. You had Damian McKenzie, who hasn't, we all know what he can do, but... A bit of that's been on his side now. No one really has said, bang, this is going to be my position. Don't pick anyone else. So
what about the double playmaker philosophy that the All Blacks have now said is pretty much where we want to be? So where does that leave Geordie Barrett?
Well, that's the thing. I think he can actually play a role like that. He's done it in the Hurricanes. He's used to playing, you know, in the centres. So it's not really about, you know, whether he can – that he can't play, have a role as a playmaker. It's simply the fact that he knows that obviously the coaches are looking at another second playmaker role. He can fit that mold. He'll go out there, yes, play a game, cool your heels a little bit. You've had a bit of time to do that, but just go out there and start implementing some of the things that the coaches have asked for. And there's hints. There's plenty of hints. Second playmaker role, you know, kicking yourself to the corners and then sparking. He's got plenty of... I suppose explosiveness and talent, and so he's just got to go out there and we all know what he can do. You know,
yep.
Unfortunately, in that test against the Springboks, you know, he had an off day, but this now for him against a Japanese team that we don't really know much about, and we should convincingly beat them. This is his chance now to say, "Well, here I go. This is my jersey. I'm going to stamp my mark on this jersey, and it's your job now to pick me for the end of year tour."
What's a pass mark here for this All Black team? Because I think the Japanese will be able to put this All Black team under pressure around the breakdown. They'll flood that area of the game. I think they'll be outclassed in terms of size around midfield and possibly some decision-making as well. But I don't think this will be as easy for this All Black side to break down this Japanese team. Jamie Joseph will have them pretty hard-nosed. Yeah. They've got rugby under their belts through top 14. So they're in the mixer at the moment. I know that they lost to that World 15. I know that they're probably not anyone's pick to beat this All Black side, but what do you see as a pass mark performance from the All Blacks?
I think their set piece is going to be huge. You know, that it always starts up front, and against the Japanese, going to set piece and making sure you nail those, you know, particularly line it and scrum, and actually scoring off them, because a lot of plays will come off that, and so it's about getting making sure they're accurate in what they do in that area, particularly when you've got new players. So I'm looking forward to who they actually pick. Yes, they'll have you know, key leadership leaders out there in you know, the key positions, hooker, your halfback, you know, Tahuri Urangi. I think he deserves to start. He's only played one game, I think.
Yeah, 20 minutes, mate. Yeah.
So he needs to play. The big area for me Suma, and it's something that you know, I've noticed, and Northern, it's their defence. And last week, again, we noted on Sky, you know, the fact that they, you know, around the edges, they just weren't filling those holes. A couple of guys, you know, were falling off tackles that they shouldn't have. I think there's the, you know, getting that defence right for them and making sure their system's in place, but more importantly, making sure they're making their tackles. I mean, it's all right.
Your first up tackles, right?
Exactly.
Because you can laud a scramble defence as much as you like.
The scramble's huge.
But against that Australian team that were their own worst enemies, if that was a team that could consistently finish their opportunities, I fear the All Blacks would have been blown off the park.
Well, I just feel that they get themselves in a situation where, no, Australia, if Australia had finished a couple of those opportunities, and all That's of a right. sudden they're under pressure like the game in Wellington against the Springboks, you know, they can't afford to be able to do that. And that's the thing. It's all right, you know, going into a game saying, okay, we've got to dominate physically on defence and knocking guys back and making sure that they do go backwards so then their ball's slow. But if you're not making the tackle, well, you're not going backwards. And teams in the Northern Hemisphere, and I'm particularly, when you look at the Irish side, I think they'll finish those opportunities.
Well, night time on a Tuesday night in Chicago as the Black Ferns prepare to face the USA Eagles. Joining us on the line, World Cup winning coach Glenn Moore, who's overseeing this preparation. Good evening to you, Glenn. How's Chicago treating you all?
Evening, Sumo. Look, it's going really well. Yeah, we got in here on Sunday and everyone sort of adjusted well and, you know, had our first main training today or a double session today, a little bit of a run yesterday, but everyone's in pretty good shape.
The occasion itself, mate, a wonderful opportunity for our women to get out there and showcase what they do in front of an ever-expanding rugby following in America and to be paired up with the Māori All Blacks and, of course, the Italy Island Test as well. Genuine excitement from your ladies about the occasion itself?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Look, you know, we drove past the stadium on the way to training today, and it's a fairly impressive-looking stadium, as we all know, having watched the All Blacks and that there. And yeah, like the Māori All Blacks, we're all staying in the same hotel, and, you know, it's great to have both teams here, and you know, to feature with them is very exciting. Mm.
Glenn, you mentioned the fact you've had a double training session already today, or you're looking to do that sometime soon. In terms of the Eagles, what have you seen? Because, you know, they've done particularly well in the sevens. Do you take much notice at their sevens game compared to, I suppose, what little you've you know, they would have played in the 15s?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was, like, we've in this prep, I mean, we've really focused it around ourselves and the things that, you know, we're trying to achieve and continuing to develop our game. And, you know, the one thing we do know is that, you know, they were very, very good opposition at the World Cup last year. They, you know, we had to play them in the semis and, you know, up until half time, we had to work really, really hard. So, you know, and we finished the game strongly. But, you know, what we do know about them is over the years, they've always been physical. They've always got a good size and they're real athletes. So we think that, you know, their game has progressed and it certainly had at the World Cup. And, you know, we would expect that they've, you know, that's continued to grow.
Mate, you're obviously going to have some edge in certain aspects of the game. Your back row played so exceptionally well against the Wallaroos in June. But also, you've got a couple of tens who are playing outstanding footy throughout the Farrah Palmer Cup and Chelsea Alley and Kristen Cottrell. Does it give you a few selection headaches having players all performing like that?
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, what we talk about quite openly here is, you know, our roles in here is to help each other, whether we're playing in the same position. And, you know, we want to have those headaches as coaches, and, you know, we've certainly got that. Everyone's trained really well today. And, you know, it will be a headache, and there's going to be some good players miss out.
Mm. The Black Ferns, in terms of the distractions of Chicago, mate, we've seen how it impacted on the All Blacks once before. And as an avid Instagram follower, Glenn, I've seen shots of United Centre and ice hockey games and NBA games and big city living. But how do you refocus your players and make sure that they're on task when it comes to the trainings and the games?
Oh, look, they've got better at it over the last few years. I mean, you know, we were into our work pretty much as soon as we got here. You know, a lot of the classroom stuff, the computer stuff, if you want to call it that, you know, all of our individual operating units have all been in place. And, you know, in most cases, we don't even have to instigate that now. It's self-driven by a lot of the players. And, you know, we've already had, you know, some of the senior players pair up with some of the newbies and, you know, they're doing a good job with making sure that we integrate them in well. You know, we want the players to have a little bit of balance as well, and I thought it was important that they managed to get out of the hotel for a couple of hours on Sunday night to that game. I think it was good for us, and you know, we were in pretty good shape on Monday when we first started training.
You talk about the newbies, Glenn. I mean, probably a different sort of scenario to what they're used to. You know, you're preparing 2 weeks in a row, you're going to, you know, two different countries, you know, 12 or so hours apart. I mean, how have they adjusted that? Because I suppose in some ways it's quite a bit of excitement, but the reality is that they've got to get down and do their work.
Yeah, and that's why the buddy system that we've got in place here is really important. And, you know, by the time we finish this year, you know, we'll have introduced you know, 9 new faces into the team, and it is a challenge for them. You know, they, you know, the workload's a lot greater, and as we all know, it takes a bit to build a training age whereby you can, you know, you can actually physically handle that workload as well. So, you know, we're monitoring all that stuff really closely, and you know, we take quite a scientific approach to that. And but they're fitting in well, and you know, they're definitely excited. And with that excitement brings a whole lot of new enthusiasm to the group as well.
Well, mate, we wish you all the very best for the game and for the occasion. We know it's going to be great at Soldier Field, and I'll have my Black Ferns jersey on, mate. And I know that so many fans would love to have one too as soon as New Zealand Rugby starts selling them properly.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind one. Just one.
Millsy wants one as well, mate. We'll put it on order. Glenn Moore there, coach of the Black Ferns, and their triple header with New Zealand Māori, or the Māori All Blacks, and Ireland and Italy at Soldier Field. We've got a bit of buzzing in the ears, but that's all right. We'll deal with that. That can go away. Do you know what the buzzing noise is? I'll tell you what. There you go. I'll tell you what it could be.
I fixed it.
It could be this pube that's stuck to this microphone. Look at the length of that. I don't know whose pubic hair that is, but...
Mate, you can. There's no curl in that, mate, so it's not mine.
No, that's definitely... That's a lengthy... I don't know. If you're running that sort of Macy Gray downstairs, you've got issues, eh? Yeah, you've got to get onto some topiary there. Sorry about that, pube on the wire. It's a health hazard here at the short ball.
I'd wash your hands too, mate, after this.
I have. Speaking of the doubleheader, Māori All Blacks, here's my pick. Kira Ioane will start at number 8. Showstopper. Brad Weber at 9. Ōtere Black at 10. Tay Walden at 12. Bobby T at 13. That 8-13 combination right there, that's the game. That is a massive 8-13 combination. All Super Rugby, all stars, all absolutely outstanding exponents of their position. I pity the fools.
I imagine that team going up against that All Black team that's gonna, you know, play the Japanese.
Be a punch thrown in the first minute.
I'd be more excited about that.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the Māori All Blacks, because they know too that on their tour, they're going to be there to be plundered in terms of backup plans. Nehi Milner-Scudder is going to come back into that team. Matty Proctor is going to come back into that team. So the team's only going to get stronger as their tour advances. Mm. But, you know, I was at the last game they played against the Eagles, and they were far too good for them. That was played out in Chicago as well, though not at Soldier Field. It was out at the Chicago Fires Stadium at Toyota Park, I think it was called. So to have them there at Soldier Field this weekend alongside the Black Ferns, as Glenn Moore said, this is a great occasion for New Zealand rugby. Yes, I know it's not the All Blacks, but these two teams, each of them brings their own history and legacy. The Māori All Blacks, for me, I think deserve to be one of the most storied teams in all of rugby. And the Black Ferns are the world champions, going up against an Eagles side that is the shop front window for women's rugby, which is on the rise in America, as it is in most countries.
Yeah, I mean, that is. You talk about that, and you talk about traditions and things like that. Like, I'll be interested to see if tradition has changed in the Māori All Blacks and the way they go about their stuff.
Just get the pube on there and just see if it... Right, we've got some technical difficulties today on the short ball. There's going to be an editing job on this. Tina's going to work cut out. She's going to have to cut out all this stuff. We haven't even said hello to producer Tina. Hi, producer Tina.
Hi.
G'day, mate. What's wrong?
Hello.
Where's the energy?
I'm so tired.
Why are you tired?
I lived here like 5 in the morning.
You lived here till 5 in the morning?
Yeah, me and Mand.
Why were you here till 5 in the morning?
It's Halloween. Festivities around everywhere.
So you do that till 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
It's the culture, man. You got to keep the culture going, get the love.
The culture.
What are you most excited about? The All Blacks playing Japan, or the Māori All Blacks playing the USA, or the Black Ferns playing the USA?
Black Ferns.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that. Look, what a stadium for these women to play on.
It's huge. This is your first end of year tour as well, isn't it? So
for a long time.
A very long time. Now, this is a huge occasion, and as I was mentioning before about the fact that, you know, tradition, that particularly the New Zealand, or the Māori All Blacks, I just wonder whether they still do the same things, you know, because it's, I mean, Glenn Moore talked about, you know, the prep and making sure you're getting balance, you know, for many years, balance in the Māori All Blacks was huge, wasn't it? And that often sort of brought them together, some of the things they did off the field and, you know, learning about their culture and a lot of various other things.
I think it's still really crucial to that team and to the dynamic of that team that they go out there and what it means to be Māori and identifying with their iwi, with their hapu and their traditions. I think that's really the more important aspect of going on tour with that team. So in some ways more important than the on-field performance, which is always pretty good anyway.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is always very good. But as a bigger picture, long-term in terms of the way, you know, rugby is in America, you know, they've really got a great opportunity now to go over there and sort of showcase. I mean, we know the All Blacks went over there and they lost to the Irish, and perhaps the Eagles may sort of feel confident that they can get close to the Māori All Blacks. You know, it could be a chance. And also, you know, the Black Ferns, they struggled early in the semi-final at the Rugby World Cup against the Eagles. And so, you know, having these big games there just might attract, you know, more numbers and watching rugby, particularly in the US, which is, we know, is a massive market if they can get it right.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Millsy, so I won't. Been a great pleasure to have the short ball today. Special guest Marty Banks and Glenn Moore, coach of the Black Ferns. You talked him up. I told you when you got him on the line, don't talk him up.
He told
me. Just encourage him.
Yeah.
You encouraged him.
He was. I'm looking forward to talking to him again next year.
That's been the short ball for the 31st of October. Happy Halloween.